This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Psalm 62:1 says, "Truly my soul silently," say silently please, "waits for God. From him comes my salvation." Salvation is more than being born again. Salvation is healing. It is prosperity. It is peace. It is wisdom. It is joy. It is all that God has prepared for those who love him here on the earth. "What eye hath seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it yet entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for those who love him." That is not a heavenly scene. That is here on the earth. Say, there's more. How many believe there's so much more that God wants to give? My Father's a giver. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it shall be given." It will be given to you. "Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." These three places, these three realms, asking, seeking, knocking, they represent the tabernacle in the Old Testament where the literal presence of God dwelt, in the temple where the literal presence of God dwelt. There was the altar where men came with their needs, with their sins, with their faults, their failures, their desires, their good and bad desires, their wants, their likes, their dislikes, their complaints, all towards God. The asking realm is the altar realm. It is the soulful realm. My mind, my emotions, my intellect, my ability or not ability to do or not do, my will, in other words. And then you go into the holy place. That is the seeking realm. That is where you are alone with God. You've left the things of the earth. You've left the things. You're still in the earth. You're still alive. We understand. But in your heart, in your soul, you have left those things that clutter behind, and now he's there with you. It's just you and Jesus. And then you could go into the holy of holies, which is the knocking. He wants to open it up to you. Let me just say it like this: with this structure in mind, where are you and I? How often do we enter the realm of the holy place or the holy of holies? Let me tell you something. In the holy place, you're not afraid. In the holy place, you're not concerned. In the holy place, you don't wonder where your next meal's coming from. In the holy of holies, people get up out of devastation and they go now. They go instantly. They're not just progressively delivered. They're delivered instantly. You have a word from heaven in the holy of holies where you know that you know that you know what you're to do, when you're to do it. That's close to God. Is it possible? Does anybody have the sense that we're living beneath our privileges? I think the problem is we make it so impractical. We make it so hard. We make it so, well, that's the otherworldly people, the super spiritual, supermen, superwomen. If Jesus didn't show us anything, he showed us this. He showed us that he was, now you need to hear this. Jesus was not that handsome guy that everybody has him pictured with the long flowing hair and he looks holy and everybody just flocked to him. The Bible says that he was without comeliness and people would have passed him in the street, and when they said, "There's the Messiah," they go, "Not him." Oh yeah, read Isaiah 53. No comeliness about him. Look at Paul the Apostle. He couldn't speak very well. He looked like his eyes were bulging out. He was a mess. He was respected just because he was a killer and he was mean. But the Lord changed him. My whole point is that I don't care how ugly you are, how fat you are, how thin you are, how wealthy you are, how dumb you think you are. The Lord says, "I made you fearfully and wonderfully, and you're living beneath what I created you to be." And why not you? Why not you? Why not me? Why does it have to be this one or that one or the other? Why not you and me? He don't have any rejects. He didn't make any trash. His plan for you is no less or no more than his plan for you and you and me. He loves us totally. Even in your imperfection, you know that you know that you know that your children are night and day different. And yet you love them with a love that you cannot measure, and there's no competition. Even though she's like you and you can't stand her, and yet you'll give her things you wouldn't give anybody else. Or any number of combinations. She's the apple of your eye. He's the apple of your eye. And he's spoiled rotten, and you don't care. He's yours. That's the way the Father feels about you. Well, the difference is he's not going to. He'll spoil you after you're mature. Everybody say there's more. Truly my soul silently waits on this one who can give me more. It's not about just getting. It's about knowing. It's the person that we need to contact. I sense God's love and presence so strong. I think I'm already past the ask place. We've already stepped over into the holy place. Oh, his presence is so fulfilling and so healing. The key to power and strength in God, I'm here to tell you, is waiting. Silently. At first, silently. On God. Wow, do you have to be that way? Well, just hear the word. Hear the word. He says, well, make your prayers and petitions known with thanksgiving. Yeah, you can. But you know what I suggest? You know what I suggest? You know what the Bible says? I got to read a couple more scriptures so you have some word basis for it. Lead me in your truth and teach me, Psalm 25:5. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day.
Come on.
You think these are just poems? They're instructions.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Wait, wait, wait. We don't like to wait on anything. We lose our salvation and cuss people out in a double McDonald's line. Get up there and you're mad, you're fuming, the kids, you want to slap them, and you get up there and there's one of your people from your church. Oh, God bless you. When I get you home, I'm going to slap you. We don't like to wait. My soul, wait, wait, pause, sit still, get profound. Silence is profound. We wait and wait and wait and think we're wasting our time, and then we still wait and we wait and we wait. You know, you're waiting anyway. Some of you have been waiting years on things that God wanted to give you way a long time ago. But not until he has an interpersonal relationship with you, because he loves you. I'm not giving Braylon the keys to the car. He'd love to have them. His brother certainly would. Hello. Their daddy got the keys to my Datsun truck when he was 5 years old. He couldn't reach anything, but he could turn the key on and it took off. Me and his grandpa screaming, following him. No, I don't give things to my kids they're not ready for. But I want to give them every good and perfect gift. And that's my Father. Hallelujah. Well, how come my daddy died? My mama died? I don't know. Get to heaven and ask them. It's not just God, it's them too. How many of you know we have something to do with what happens to us? We blame everything on God. God's not responsible for this world the way it's in. He's responsible for what's right about it as we sought his face. But if he's in charge of the world, he's got it in a hell of a mess. It's hell out there. It's evil. I don't want to get off on that. And quit blaming God for storms. It's an act of God. No, it's an act of the devil. He's the prince and the power of the air. My Lord Jesus rebuked the prince and the power of the air, and he says, peace, be still. He wasn't talking to his Father. Let's quit blaming God. Psalm 63, 1 through 3. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh Even my flesh longs for you. You know, I can eat so much ice cream, I'm begging. It's like that guy on the tractor, on the commercial. He says he's got this house, a pool, and he's got a tractor, a lawnmower to ride over, you know, 100 square feet of lawn. He says, somebody please help me. I'm in debt over my head, up to my ears. You can absolutely inundate yourself with things, with the cares and the riches of this life, and be miserable. The truth of the matter is that our flesh even longs and cries out for Him. That's true. We're thirsty. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Where I am when I come to God in prayer, there's no water and I'm thirsty. What am I thirsty for? Everybody say, His love and fellowship. It's not just a provision. You're starving and hungry for relationship. You need the Creator of all that is to tell you, I got your back. You're not too late. I'm going to walk with you through this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? Because if they go to you, they're going to have to get through me. Hallelujah. In prayer, we all begin in the same place, dry and thirsty, in the flesh, in the soulish realm, in the asking realm. Psalm 42:2. My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face? Say face. Say face. Say it again. The face of God. Face in Scripture means presence. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, there's no word for the word presence. They had to say face. Panim. I seek the face of God. I seek the presence of the Lord. I seek to have a one-on-one manifestation of His literal presence, because when I'm in His presence, I'm not afraid. When I'm in His presence, I'm not wondering where my meal's coming from. When I'm in His presence, I'm not worried that I am 33 and I'm married living in my mama's house. Hungry. This scripture, my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? When the psalmist wrote this, he was in the assembly of the righteous. He says, I remember when I went to the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. He says, but I was dry, I was empty, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was alone, I was miserable. You can be in the house of God and be thirsty. To see the face of God is to seek His presence. Face means presence. Let's read in Psalm 27, 4, 5, 8, and 14. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I, everybody say, seek. That's the second level. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in His presence, all the days. Not once a week. If this is all God's presence you're getting, you're just getting titillated. And it takes two-thirds of the service. Of course, you don't get here on time. You come in halfway through preaching. You know, David, I know people that I love dearly. Oh, I know they know God. And they used to come every week to church. Now they come twice every 3 months. You can't get it once a week. I wish you could. But not really. I'm so glad that I get to see my wife every day. There's a few days she'd rather not see me, but that's another story. I'm so glad I don't have to see my kids once every 3 months. I'm so glad I could do with the kids, but not the grandbabies. I got to see them at least. Hello? I'm hungry for a quickening of the house of God. There are thousands of people out there who don't know Jesus at all. But I'm hungry for the people also who know God. Well, I don't know if they know God anymore. To be so quickened that they flock to the presence of God. And this is an overflow of what happens Monday through Saturday. And they come here rejoicing. That's what the psalmist was remembering. And then they went out and they brought in the thousands. And you don't even have to bring them in. Just win them. Love them. Everybody say, quickened. It means to be revived. It means to be alive. It means to be awakened. I've heard so much about the Great Awakening. I got to move on. I've heard so much about the old Great Awakening. But when in my prayer time, he gave me an insight this week. He says, that's what it means. All those people that you love and you know are hurting, and they're coming twice and three times a month, twice and two or three times every 3 months. He says, that's what an awakening would be, when they would come and flock, not just to the church to get a number, but because they're in love with Jesus. You know what would happen then? Your husband would get saved. The Great Awakening is when the church is so full of Jesus that the rest of the world says, I got to have that. My soul thirsts. My soul thirsts. My soul thirsts. Psalm 27, 4, 5, 8, 14. One thing I have seek the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty, the delightful loveliness, and majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's high. Listen, in order to be everything God wants you to be, you got to go higher. And he's the only one who can get you there. In his secret place, there's no fear, there's no lack, there's no doubt, there's none of that. There's no unfulfillment, there's no degradation, there's no condemnation, there is no, I'm not good enough. Somebody say amen. How many of you'd like to live there? For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. Go ahead, read the next verse. When you said, seek my face in prayer, require my presence as your greatest need. My heart said to you, your presence, face, Lord, Lord, I will seek on the authority of your word. Don't forget the word seek. That's the second realm of being quickened to where that you've left the soulish realm behind and you're in his presence. That's what he says we need. Go ahead. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. When I sit down, I know he's coming. When I'm silent, I know he's coming. It don't matter how long it takes. And the more I come and the more he comes, the shorter time it takes. I've literally gone into my prayer place and sat down. And I said, okay, I've been in the first realm. And he said, no, you're not. I'm already here. He says, you're aware of me. I've always been here. And I skipped the soul and went right on into the presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. As I'm sitting and as I'm waiting, what do I do? What do I say? It's the best part. Nothing. Just shut up until you shut your mind off. It's not Eastern meditation. That's a different thing. It's shutting that out so you can get in touch with Jesus. He's always talking. We just can't hear him. We hear too many other things. What do you do? Just say nothing. Holy, holy. Sing something, baby. Just worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Search for God for a lifetime without not realizing all the time He was within me. And as you're waiting, it may seem like a while, but when He quickens you, it may be a tear. Of joy, but you'll know, won't you? You'll know when He takes hold together with you. Put Psalm 80 up. So will not we go back from Thee. Quicken us, and then we will call upon Thy name. Put the Amplified. Then will we not depart from You. Revive us. Give us life. And then we will call upon Your name. I say, the Scripture says, would you come to Him before you make your prayers and your petitions known with thanksgiving? Wait, I say, O Lord. And when You quicken me, things take place. When You quicken me, I go from the asking realm to the seeking realm, from the soulish realm to the holy place. And He's here. Why would you want to ask prior to that? Anything. Acknowledging Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge. Know Him. Know me. Be still. Psalm 46:10, and then know me, because I'm God, and in my presence you'll suffer no lack. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, I will condemn it instantly, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And if you don't feel righteousness, you just know this. My righteousness is your righteousness. Your righteousness is from me. Let no man call you unclean. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Sometimes I walk these aisles for an hour. And if I'm better off, I didn't know it. There is a place and a time when I get still. So I just come and sit anymore. Maybe put on music. And He comes. He comes. I find myself, all 200 and some pounds of me, saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Jesus. 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 And then is when I begin to offer praises. That's when I begin to offer him praises. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Knowledge of God means to know God, not to know about him. It's in this place of waiting upon him that you discover his person, his qualities, his likes, his dislikes. It's a relationship. So I wait. How long? It just depends. I'm not waiting on the clock. I'm waiting on the person. And he's real. You're living in the soul. You're living in the flesh. Why don't you move into the holy place? Talk with him. When you get to this place, worship will come. Joy will come. When he quickens you, it literally means, quicken means to make alive, to renew, to restore, to rejuvenate, to revive, to renew. Three things will happen when you're quickened. Number one, and we already said it, he makes me alive. Number two, I won't go back to sin. That's what it says. When I'm in your presence, my desires change. When I'm in your presence, I'm different. I died and you came alive. You dwell in me. Being in the presence makes your desires his desires. He makes his desires your desires. So when I'm in the presence, and I may have one breakthrough, and then it may leave. But if I've got time, he's got the beer.
Come on.
You got the time. Anyway. I just wait on him. Pretty soon, you know what? Here he comes again. Only it's richer. I don't know how to explain it. I just know it's him. And I know I'm stronger. And I know sometimes I desire when the presence comes like that and it comes again, I want to read. I want to read. I want to read 10 chapters, 15 chapters, one chapter, meditate a verse. I don't know. I may want to sing. I may pray in the Spirit. Because you see, just let him lead you. Because now his desires have become your desires. And it's so much better when he leads. How many of you know it's better when he leads? In prayer, in life, in business, in marriage, in conduct, in character. How many of you are tired of trying to have character by yourself? It's because we're living in the flesh and not in the Spirit. It's time to move on. Hallelujah. We won't go back to sin because my desires have changed. And thirdly, his face will shine upon us with favor, with approval and pleasure. That's what the scripture said. God is pleased with me. Oh, what a sense of safety and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The benefits of waiting. Strength. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow tired. This is a picture of you starting in the soulish realm, he comes, and like the eagle, when you're in the seeking realm, when you come into his presence, when you sought and he's quickened you, then he takes you on the wind of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit means. The wind of the Spirit, and he lifts you higher than you could ever go yourself. He lifts you to a place you've not been. He's lifted you to a place you belong. It's where you were meant to dwell. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. You want the blessings of Psalm 91? He says that where 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 at your right hand, and yet it will not come nigh you and your household. You can't visit there. You got to dwell there. Dwelling in the secret place, not visiting. Oh, he lifts me higher. So strength is in the presence. Number two, your flesh is subdued. Benefits of waiting. Strength, your flesh is subdued. Psalm 39:7-8. Please listen to this. I'm almost through. I am through. My time's gone. And now, Lord, what do I wait for and expect? My hope and expectation are in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions, my sins. Make me not the scorn and reproach of the self-confident fool. You are delivered from the prison of sin when you are consistently waiting on the presence of God. Otherwise, here's what can happen. Yeah, well, it is what it is. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Oh. But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it. You know how you do that? Not by shouting, not by earning it. You can't live like Jesus lived unless you spend time with the Father like he spent with the Father. He had the same temptations. He had the same flesh. He had the same limitations. He was God, but he gave away all of his power. He only learned and had insight according to what the Father told him when he was alone with the Father. He had the same access you have. You can't do it by yourself. Everybody say, yay. That's the discipline. Sit in that chair. For fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. I'm a preacher. This may shock some of you, but I could live a bad life and still get up here and preach. And the anointing will come. And you will be blessed by the word. Because I'm just a vessel. But because I have an anointing doesn't mean I have character. The gift works, but I can walk right out of here. Let me tell you something about the power of God. The power of God stirs up the flesh, either to destroy it. That's why men can leave here, women can leave, have prayed for the sick and seen miracles, and walk out and go to bed as an adulterer. I'm sorry. You didn't know that happens? Well, you think we're different than you? My gift will not keep me close to Jesus. My gift will not get me into heaven. I can get before the throne and he'd say, depart from me. I never knew you. Translation, you never knew me enough to where I could know you. I cast out devils in your name. He says, but I never knew you. Depart from me. You're a worker of iniquity. See, the Lord is looking on the heart. The Lord looks on the person. He wants you to look on his heart. He wants you to see his person. Because when you see him, then you take on his countenance. You take on his characteristics. You take on his traits. And his desires become your desires. Do you get it? Your willpower will never get you through to heaven. His power with your will, his love with your character.
Somebody say amen.
Where does it come?
Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord.
When I fall, what do I do?
I look unto Jesus whence cometh my help. I don't know why I fail from time to time. There's a reason. I missed it somewhere. But God is so full of grace.
But you know what? Please hear me. The problem why people go off the deep end is because they don't spend enough time in his presence to want to go back. There's a point to where that when I'm facing temptation nowadays, I look at him and I go, oh, no. I said, oh, Father. He goes, yeah.
And I just go the other way. In the old days, I'd have been led around by the nose.
I know preachers, teachers, men, deacons, trustees, fathers, mothers, love their husbands, love their wives, and yet they're led around the nose because they haven't been in the presence enough to develop his love and hunger for him more than they have a love and a hunger for the flesh. The only way the flesh dies is when you're in his presence. His word will bring, his presence will bring a revealed word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Is this helping anybody? You can't have the word without the spirit. I need to worship him in spirit and truth. The truth will set me free, but not until I know it. I can have knowledge of it, but I need to know it in my spirit. And the only way I know his word in my heart and want his word, I'd rather not sin, is when I'm in his presence.
Right.
Let me say it one more different way. When I know him, I know now what David meant. When David fell with Bathsheba, I'm closing. When David fell with Bathsheba, he didn't ask for his kingship. He said, Lord, don't take your relationship from me. Renew a right spirit within me. He didn't want his position. He wanted his relationship. Hallelujah. 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 I waited and waited and waited some more. Hear me, if you're caught up in a perennial sin, in a habitual sin, if you're addicted to pornography, if you're addicted to drugs, if you're addicted to prescribed drugs or whatever, if you're addicted to sordid relationships, ungodly soul ties, I waited and waited and waited some more. I don't care how often you fail, you come back and you wait. Is that too hard? Was that too harsh? I waited and waited and waited some more, patiently knowing God would come through for me. Then at last, he bent down and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of danger from the desolate pit I was in. That's addiction. Somebody say yes. Out of the muddy mess, out of the miry clay, the King James calls it, I have fallen into. Now he's lifted me up. There's that word, up. Lifted me up into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walk along his ascending pathway. If you're not moving up, you're moving backwards. It's a relationship, not a religion. It's a relationship, not willpower. Huh? It's your will and his power. He changes your will. He changes your want to. Hello? Relationship causes you to look it in the eye and go, no, I don't need it. Well, somebody should have said amen right there. When you're out alone and you're with the guys, they say, hey, why don't you partake of some of this? Nobody will know. And there's something that rises in you that says, yeah, but you'd know, Lord. And I value my relationship with you more than I do. You can't fake that. Hear me? You can't fake that. You don't have to. He'll meet you. Oh, when he comes, he's worth it. He's worth it. Well, So there you go. Truly my soul silently waits for God, for from him comes my salvation. He only is my rock of my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I will wait on you, O you, his strength. For God is my defense. He'll protect you. He'll protect you. Waiting is our protection. Waiting is our defense. Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, the secret place, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. I won't visit there. I'll live there. And he will protect me. He will protect me. Quietness is the elevator to heaven. Quietness is the elevator of heaven. He made him to ride in the heights of the earth that he might eat the produce of the fields. He'll lift you high to where prosperity floods you. His harvest comes your way. His favor, his pleasure, his goodness, his blessing. He made him draw honey from the rock. The honey means the word, the revelation of God's word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds and keeps on proceeding out of the mouth of God. When I get a word from the Lord that says, hold fast, I'm coming through. You'll have a home in less than 6 months. I go to the bank on it. And he's never failed, because when you get a rhema word, it's God talking. You get it when you're in the secret. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock. The oil is the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the power. Surely he shall deliver me. He'll give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. When you're in the flesh, you disarm your angels. When you're in the presence, you arm them. You're not alone. When you go there, there are benefits. It's practical. Well, what do I do? What do I say? Just shut up. Forget the soul part. Yeah, but it keeps coming to me. You know, oh, I got an appointment. I got this. You know, why don't you just say, okay, write the thing down and then shut up about it. And just wait on Jesus. Say it with me. He's worth it. Father, I thank you. It's been my assignment today to try to give a practical approach how we can live closer to God, to whether there will truly be a great awakening. An awakening of my spirit, Lord. I'm so aware of my humanity, but Lord, I'm so aware that you were human. And you taught me, because you know how I feel. You know how I think. You know I'm inadequate with my own will, my own power. I need your love. I need your character. I need your power. I need your desires. And I'm in your presence. It changes me. No, I need to be transformed into that image of your Son, Father. It is my privilege to wait on you. It is to my benefit to wait on you. I don't have to be Billy Graham. Billy Graham started out just being Terry Green. Every time he preached to millions, he got alone afterwards in the dark and waited on you. So he didn't go out and sin after great victory like many people do. He was strengthened his hand. Because he was in love with the person, not the ministry. I worship you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. One, 2, 3. If you're here, you want Jesus. Anybody want to get saved? Let me see your hand. Okay, I see your hand. Is anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand. You want Jesus in your spirit. You want him to rule over your soul. I see your hands. Anybody else? Come on. This is your day. I see your hand. Yeah, I see your hand. How many of you want to come back to Jesus? Yeah, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Oh, how many of you want to wait on Jesus until he becomes you and you become him? I see your hand. Hallelujah. And I see that hand. I see that hand. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you know, I think we're already in the second realm. Everybody who wants Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I rededicate my life. I've known you, but I need to know you more. I receive you now by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're already in the second realm. Let's begin to raise our hands and praise him now. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.